Let's turn back over to John chapter 16, and we will continue to look at the things that we have been following, looking at this last sermon that Jesus gave to his disciples, the apostles, before he went to pray in the garden. And after they had their last supper, he is teaching them, I think, some of the core principles. And we talked about some things this morning. And I'm going to give like a quick recap because we're kind of at the place where we need to, you know, sometimes I realize over several weeks we're covering a sermon. And then at some point you say, well, what did Jesus really tell them in this? Well, he told them he was going away. And he also told them that where he was going, they were going to go. He told them he was going to send the Comforter after he left to give them comfort and to give them the Spirit of truth that they would stand in need of when he was gone. He also told them that they were branches, that they needed to abide in the vine so that they could gain sustenance, nourishment, strength, and to be able to bear fruit. He told them that they would show their love to him by keeping his commandments, and that if they kept his commandments, they were not just servants, they were friends. And that as friends, he had revealed to them all things. There at the end of the 15th chapter, he began to tell them, I came and preached these things because so people would know their sin. And he said, if they hated me for teaching them that, I got news, they're going to hate you too. And so that's kind of where we've gotten to. He carries on with some of this theme as we go into 16. But if you think about, you know, I think I've said this maybe a few Sundays ago, but if I knew I was going to be speaking to you the last time, and I thought, okay, I've got to make sure I give them the most important things I can tell them right now, and he's told them, I'm going to be resurrected. That's the heart of the gospel. And where I'm going, you're going to go. He's told them that I'm going to send a comforter to you that'll guide you into all truth after I'm gone, and comfort you in your time of sorrow. He's also told them they need to abide or live in the vine so that they can get the strength that they need. They'll show that by bearing much fruit, keeping his commandments. And he's also told them they're not going to be popular during all this. So he's preparing them for the road ahead. And so I think it's so important that we can sometimes kind of condense all of this down to say, what was he really trying to tell them? Well, he was getting some very succinct themes that he had to tell them. Chapter 16 now, the book of John, continuing this sermon, this last sermon to his apostles. He said, these things I have spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God's service. It made me think very much, every time I read that verse of Scripture, I think about the Apostle Paul as Saul of Tarsus, who thought he was doing God's work, going out rounding up Christians, bringing them back to Jerusalem and giving him the word to their death. And Jesus is warning them, the time's going to come. They're going to put you out of the synagogues and they're going to kill you and they're going to think they're doing my work. In killing you. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Now, boy, I'm telling you, if you can latch onto that verse of Scripture and think, and again, think about Paul as Saul of Tarsus, who had this fantastic event happen to him on the road to Damascus, where God intervened in his life. And as many of us believe, that was the point in time when he was born again. Then that verse of Scripture there, number 3 of verse 16, chapter 16, even begins to come more crystallized that they think they will be doing God's service, and these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. They don't know us. But these things I've told you that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. I didn't tell you all this to start with. I didn't want to scare you off. Jesus didn't quite say that, but it's kind of like, you know, I didn't tell you at the beginning because, well, one, I was with you. And, you know, when I began to be talking about, you know, you think about some of the journeys, thinking about maybe I'll use Brother Brett as an example or whatever, you know, but let's just say, for example, he had known a year ago that he was moving to Alaska. Well, you know, it wasn't a year ago, but let's just say it was a year ago. And so, you know, he didn't tell maybe everybody he could have told. He came home and told his wife, you know, or something, but he maybe didn't tell the whole family for some period of time, because why worry you with all of that when it's still a year off? Jesus just told his apostles, I didn't tell you all this at the beginning because it was 3 years off. And there's no need of you being thinking about, I'm going away, I'm leaving, I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to send the comforter to you to comfort you. And you're thinking, what's he talking about? And he said, I was with you. No need of telling you about all of this at that time. And he says, now when I go away to him that sent, but now I go away to him that sent me, and I'm none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. It gets very important as we kind of go over to this. He gets to a portion of scripture later here in chapter 16 where he talks about the woman in travail. That the woman in travail, the sorrow that she has while she's in travail having a child, how great that, you know, that pain, sorrow, he's talking about pain, how great that pain, that hurt is, but how that pain is immediately for you moms in the that know this in the congregation, that pain is immediately swallowed up with just the sweetest thoughts of there's my child. You forget all about that at least for a moment or two because you see the result of all that pain. And Jesus begins to compare this a little bit later here in 16 to the fact the sorrow that they're going to have, the travail that they're going to feel because of him going away, is immediately going to be swallowed up with joy because they're going to see him again. And they're going to know that, hey, he overcame death and so forth. So, because I've said unto you these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. You know, that is there a point? Whew, is there a point in that? You know, sometimes the truth, everything that's the truth doesn't make you feel good. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. It's important you know. I know you're hurting and paining because I keep telling you I'm going away. But it's expedient that I tell you the truth. I don't want to be hiding anything from you. I don't want to be trying to cover it up. That I've got to go, and unless I go away, the Comforter's not going to come. And the Comforter is a very important part of the future ministry of the church, and the spreading of the gospel. He gets to that even a little bit more as we go down through here, talking about how the Spirit will come. And I've thought about this so many times that, you know, it doesn't matter. I sort of say it doesn't matter, blah blah blah. But I'll kind of rephrase what I'm going to say. Say it this way: it's important for the minister to study, to prepare a sermon that I think is thought out, has had some thought, some structure, some aim to it, and put into a form. But I'll tell you, it can be the most structured, the most formed out it can ever be, and unless the Holy Spirit comes and works with that to your hearts as I'm preaching the gospel, it could just be the most structured, well laid out speech in the world, you know, that you've ever heard. It's the Spirit that takes it. It's the Comforter that takes it and applies it to our hearts so that we can hear and understand and convicts us of sin. And that's kind of where he goes here with this. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he's come, he will reprove or convince, is what that center column reference says reprove means here. When he's come, he will convince the world of sin. Isn't that part of what the, you know, when you preach the gospel and the, you know, think about the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. Peter came and preached and says, this man Jesus, whom ye took by wicked hands and crucified and killed, is God and Savior. And they were convicted of their sins so much, convinced of their sins so much, they said, their response was, men and brethren, what should we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and so forth and so on. The Spirit came And you know, you have to know that, of course, we know the Spirit came that day like cloven tongues and lit upon them, and they were talking in other tongues and so forth, and every man there was hearing them. But I think even more so than that, Peter got up and preached that day in a way that Peter had never spoken before in his life, preached the truth, was playing with them, and said, "This man Christ, whom you took and by wicked hands killed and crucified, was God and Savior." And instead of being mad like they have been in other occasions, or like they were on other occasions when Stephen preached that, they all gnawed and gnashed upon him with their fists and rocks and everything. These men were convinced of their sins. So the Spirit, he says, when he is come, there's another important part. Underline that in your Bible. When he is come, the Spirit is he. It's not a thing, a fairy ghost tale out there somewhere we all think about sometimes. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to the Father and ye see me no more. Part of the work of the Spirit is to convince us that Jesus Christ rose and went to be with the Father because he was the sinless Lamb of God. So it's the Spirit that convinces us of that. I'm reminded as I read these little things here that he has laid out about the Spirit. It reminds me, and I'll have to, again, like I did this morning, I'll turn over real quickly to read it. But Hebrews chapter 11, where the Apostle Paul begins that letter there. And he, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith. And I emphasize here the faith, like the Spirit. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. By faith we understand that God spoke the world into existence. Through the Spirit we understand that Jesus, and faith, through the Spirit, we understand that Jesus Christ is Savior. He's the Son of God. He's seated on the right hand of the throne of God. So he's the Comforter is going to come. He's going to reprove or convince the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. If we overlook that thought sometimes, we need to remind ourselves, when Christ died on the cross, not only did he shed his blood for our sins, but he defeated Satan there that day. The prince of this world was defeated that day. His ultimate throwdown, if we were doing World Wrestling Cup or whatever, the ultimate throwdown would be one of these days when he's going to be forever cast into the lake of fire. But at this point in time, he's defeated already. Satan is so smart, and somewhat, he's smarter than we like to give him credit for sometimes. He knows he's defeated. So you think about this, how wicked, how mean, how much of a liar he is, that he goes around causing all the trouble that's caused in this world today. Just kind of to, you know, this is on tape or whatever, so you can't see. It's just kind of like, you know, to God, you know, thumb himself at God because he knows he's defeated, yet he's going around causing death, war, trouble, the abortions, the all the other problems that are going on in this world, the Muslim uprisings and all this stuff, and it's chaos, murder, death, and corruption. And it's all, and he's behind it all, and he knows he's defeated. Now you got to be, you talk about wicked. Well, we know Satan's wicked, yeah, but do we really realize the depth of how wicked he is? Sometimes I don't know that I even pause to think about how truly wicked someone is to know they've lost the battle and they're still going around causing just as much chaos and trouble as they can cause. Because they can for right now. So he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You know, it's good. This would be a good admonition for all speakers that are standing before congregations to recognize when they've had all they could take for the day. Jesus knew that they'd probably had all they could take for one night and all they could stand for one day. And it was brain, you know, y'all have done this before. I at least I say this, it's brain overload. He's put so much information out there to them that night. The teaching at the Last Supper, the communion, the foot washing. Now he goes into this sermon, and it's been going on now for quite some time. And suddenly he's realized, there's more I want to tell you, but you can't handle it right now. There's just things that you're not ready for. And you know, do you wonder? I wonder, maybe, if you go over and look at what all is revealed to John in the book of Revelation, and you think about all the things that are revealed to him there about the last times, Jesus could have told him all of that. He kind of gave him a hint in Matthew 24, 25, and 26 over there when he began talking about the last days and so forth. But he could have gone into much more. He knows it all. So, I mean, he could have told him everything. But he says, you can't bear this right now. It's just, it's too much for you. You to handle. So he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear from the Father, and I've put that in there, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. So he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. He's going to take all the things that Jesus taught. We find this in another portion of the scripture. And he says, all after the resurrection, Christ had gone back, it says the Spirit came and revealed to them all. It was even when Christ arose. That's what it was. When Christ arose and was talking with his apostles, it says they went over all the scriptures that he had taught them over the ages and gave them, and the truth kind of came out to them at that point like it hadn't at any other time. So he says, the Spirit is going to take mine and shall show it unto you, and a little while you shall not see me. And again I say a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. And then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith to us? A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. What's he talking about? They said therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while I cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me? Verily I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Oh, can you? Well, I mean, do we have to just? We can dial our minds over there to the crucifixion day. There were those that were there cheering that day. There were those that were there excited that Jesus Christ, this crucify him. What about Barabbas? Don't give us Barabbas. Give us Jesus. They were excited to see this guy that had been causing them, had been reproving them of their sin, just like we talked about. They were excited to see him being taken out of the way. He had done, aggravated them enough, if you put it in the terminology of today. And so he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament. You're going to be sad. But know this, the world is going to rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A little while, and I'm not going to be with you. A little while, and you'll see me again. Your sorrow is going to be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. Wow, you know, all the pain. Laura was how many hours in the hospital? 2 days or whatever in the hospital over there, you know. And finally, the time is arriving, and you know, that's... there's pain and agony and hurting and all of that comes with that. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for the joy that a man is born into the world. Now ye therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Or maybe in this case, a little girl, right? but your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. You know what? There's a joy that you and I have that down in our hearts that the world can't have. They can't have, and they can't steal it from you either. You know, I think about the Apostle Paul and Silas sitting in that jail cell at night, and the Bible records for us, they're sitting in a Roman jail cell singing songs. They had a joy that the jail cell couldn't steal from them that night. They knew that they were going to be victorious over the situation. They were kind of like the three Hebrew children that were put into the fiery furnace. They knew one way or the other they were going to be delivered from that old king. And Paul and Silas knew. And of course, I think Paul knew even more than that. Paul had already been revealed unto him that he was going to Rome. By that point, he had already been told of the Holy Spirit of God. He was going to go to Rome, and so he's sitting there in a jail cell saying, "Well, this is a temporary sidetrack." He knew he was coming out of there. He wasn't going to be. So him and Silas were sitting singing songs that night in the jail cell. A woman, let's see, "Now you therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." He's begun to teach us, I think, and I don't know that we really have this laid out for us. I'd have to go back and look. Let's do that for just a minute. While y'all, I'll let y'all study with me here for a second. Let's turn back over to Matthew chapter 6. We have the model prayer. "Lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Oh, there's something missing there. "In Jesus' name." "In Jesus' name. Amen." No, they didn't pray in Jesus' name at that time. Jesus was with them. Now today we pray in the name of the Son of God. In Jesus' name we pray. With Him representing us in His behalf. So He begins to tell us here, "In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Here too you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." You're wanting to know what you need to do to further your joy during this time of sorrow, but you realize, hey, I'm coming forth from grace. Ask the Father in my name, and He'll give it to you. Again, we could go into all the lessons about prayer, that you don't just ask anything and everything, but I think I trust this group of folks I'm talking to understand that. And so, "These things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs," and my center column reference tells me are parables. He says, "These things I've spoken unto you in parables, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I shall shew you plainly the Father. And in that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came from God. I came forth from the Father and am coming to the world. And again, I leave the world and go to the Father." So again, he's telling us the same exact thing that he's told over and over and over again throughout the course of his ministry. "I came from the Father, now I return to the Father." And again, his disciples said unto him, "Lo, thou speakest thou plainly." Now they realize, oh, we get it now. We understand. You're going away, but you're going back to where you came from. And his disciples said unto him, "Lo, thou speakest plainly and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not any man should ask thee. But this we believe, that thou camest from God." You know, after all this time, and not that they didn't know that, but here again at the last moment, they're affirming to Jesus Christ, "We know you're a man sent from God. You're the Son of God. We know who you are. Do you now believe?" Jesus said, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered." You know, I say this looking at us, and we're some of what I don't know, but some of what I think I do know from reading the Word of God. I don't know what kind of scattering could occur to God's people in America, maybe across the world, but in America in the future. But as we look at these portions of Scriptures, we remember the Spirit is with us. The Spirit has not left us. Jesus Christ is aware of every condition. All He asks is abide in the vine. Stay in Him. Abide in His love. Keep His commandments. Love one another. Follow after these things. "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." And yet I'm not alone, because the Father's with me. "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. As we face whatever we face going forward, whatever we face in the future of our families and our churches and this generation, we will not face what Jesus Christ faced. We may be persecuted, but we won't be near as blameless as he was when he was persecuted. We need to be reminded what he told these disciples. They hated him. They're going to hate us. And so remember that the sorrow may be for a little while, because in this world you'll have tribulation. It's going to be problems time and time and time again. But be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. Again, I'll give you the same story that I told this morning real quickly. Go sometime and look at the things that are laid out related to that little boat that the disciples were in. I thought of the other terminology I was looking. You know, my wagon is loaded. You know, sometimes we think mentally, physically, whatever, that I can't bear anything else. I've had so many troubles and our sorrows. I think there was going to be times when the apostles probably felt like, I can't bear one more thing that's being put on me during this time. But Jesus was with them. Jesus was there. The Holy Spirit was there to calm all troubles, to calm all sorrows. And we need to remember where our strength comes from. If that's part of the reminder that I want to remind you today, is whatever we're facing, remember to draw close to Him. And He will, you know, He may not rescue you when you want to be rescued, but before the ship sinks, I think God will give us a way to overcome the troubles, trials we're facing in our life. And if nothing else, if the boat sinks, you know what? We go home and be with the Lord. We're still in good shape. So be in prayer for all those families that we've mentioned this week. I think about Sister Sandra at this time. So just remember her. I know her sorrow is strong, yet in some ways, having watched her husband of many years suffer, she's probably somewhat relieved that he's no longer suffering. So remember those this week. May God bless you.